Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. She's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. We're coming up on our 10th anniversary with Joan. How about that? She's started when she was only 18, and it's been an incredible decade here. Joan Pride, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks very much. Yeah, I wish I was 28.
the way I just said that kind of gave me pause, Joan. I just said it's been an incredible decade.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years is one thing, but to say decade, that's what is that? I mean, was that like a sentence or something?
Wow.
That's pretty bad. Hey, Joan, since you were here last, we had something happen here that's pretty incredible happened in the United States. We had an election.
Oh, right. I forgot.
Right. And Barack Obama won. I guess you noticed that too.
Yes, I noticed that. That's right.
And you guys reported on that this week. And here's the lead, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the lead line in the current letter. Expect Obama to govern from the center. Are we going to have a Bill Clinton redux here?
Well, and I would add, our second line is he wants to and he has no other option. But I would add a third line. But it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Why isn't it going to be easy?
Well, the left wing of his party is going to be desperate to pull him to the left.
MoveOn.org, the ACLU.
The real left wingers in Congress are going to want to pull him to the left. Now,
somebody named Nancy and somebody named Harry, right?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. On the other hand, he did win with more than 50% of the vote, which Bill Clinton did not do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he's smart, which I think he is, he will be able to say to them, look, I have a certain amount of clout of my own.
He's going to assume a mandate.
I think he should. Mm-hmm. I hope he's listening and writing all this down.
Well, I want to say something that I haven't said yet, Joan.
No.
My audience knows that I informed them, as I've done this is the third election, presidential election, that I informed them that I was going to be voting for John McCain, and the reason was, and I pointed out a handful of small business issues that I personally thought John McCain would be better on than Obama. But now that the die is cast, I want to say publicly that Barack Obama is my president. And I pray for his health and his well-being and that of his administration. And I will be working very hard to support the things that he does, especially those that he does for small business. And I'm looking forward to working with his SBA organization that he'll be implementing.
That's right.
And this will be my first Democrat administration SBA administration to work with. By the way, it'll be my second one.
Well, sure, because you had the Clinton administration.
I worked very closely with the Clinton administration. So having said all that, folks, I don't even consider myself to be, you know, what they call the loyal opposition. I'm very much hopeful I want to be excited about what happens. But you know, we'll see how it goes. But I'll be pulling for him. I just want to get that on the table.
Right. Well, and it. You know, there's the politician, there's also the office of the president.
That's
and
right.
I think we can all respect the president, no matter who's holding the office.
Well, and I'll tell you something else, I've said this before, this isn't my first time to say this. I believe that Barack Obama is a good human being. I believe that he is an intellectually honest human being.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an intellectually curious human being. And obviously very smart and very gifted. And so I hope that those traits will help him be more than a politician, a really good president.
Right. Well, we're certainly going to find out.
Yeah. And so I have my hopes and prayers are with him. So, but let's talk about some of the things you guys point out that his mandate is not ideological. Now, tell us what you mean by that.
Well, because we say it was an historic win, but it was built on a broad coalition. Because we say this is interesting, he won about 55% of moderates and independents. So he's well aware that his win didn't come just from the left wing of the Democratic Party.
And let me tell you where his win came from. And I mean this with all my heart. Mm-hmm. Never mind the independents. Never mind the Democrats. Barack Obama won with a lot of Republicans.
Did he? Oh,
I personally know a lot of Republicans who voted for him, people that 4 years ago would never have thought that they would have cast a ballot for a Democrat candidate for president. And I'm talking about, as you know, Joan, I have friends all over this country and people I work with, and I talk to them about these things and have now for a number of years. We talked about this before Obama even became a candidate. And I could see that these guys were moving away from the Republican Party, and they were looking for a home. And so my point is he, yes, I think he does have a mandate, but I do think he needs to take a little bit do a little due diligence on that mandate and find out that, as you said, as you indicated, that it's a broad cross section of America.
Can I ask you a couple of questions about those folks?
Absolutely.
Number one, do you think they would have behaved the same way had the nominee been Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a follow-up to kind of go.
I can't give you an emphatic yes, but I do think yes.
So, do you think a lot of this was simply an anti-Bush vote?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was. A lot of Republicans, not only anti-Bush, but a lot of... See, these guys, the Republicans I'm talking about are not ideologues.
Right, well, there seem to be two types of Republicans. There are the ideologues, and there are also what I call the classic Republicans. See, the less government...
conservative, free market guys, yeah.
Low deficit...
That's right, that's right.
Fiscal conservatives.
Right, but not ideologues.
Right, right.
And those are the guys I'm talking about. And I say guys, right. I'm talking about men and women.
Right.
Yeah, and I think, frankly, a lot of them were actually a little disappointed that Hillary didn't get it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think I hope somebody points that out to him. I hope they've got a spreadsheet up there that shows them who voted for him. And I think if he could see that, I think that would be an aha moment for him to know how to govern, I think. And so I pray that that's also part of his consideration. 20 after the hour, I've got Mr. Richard Pennyman, a little Richard as we know him, taking us out. Joan Pride and I will be right back. Stay with us. Little Carlos Santana bringing us back. One of my favorite artists. He's one of the best. 23 after the hour, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Joan Pride is with us. She's a senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. My websites, by the way, folks, are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's the brand new website, by the way. I hope you'll go there and check it out today. It's the same location, smallbusinessadvocate.com. We've had that for 11 years, but the website is brand spanking new, and so use that to your advantage. There's still no barrier to entry, but lots of new stuff there. Lots of new capability and new ways of using all that we have, and I hope you like it. We worked hard on that. And then, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. No barriers to entry in either one of those. Joan and I are talking about the Kiplinger letter, what Kiplinger has to say. And the first page, Joan, is all about Obama, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's all Obama all the time.
You bet.
Here's another line from the letter, ladies and gentlemen. Delivering on Obama's promises won't be easy. Now, I don't mean for this to sound like a shot at him or anything.
No, we wrote it.
I know, but let me say this. What I'm about to say, I don't want this to sound like a shot.
Okay. Now, although, you realize having introduced it that way, people are going to expect it to be.
Well, okay. I'll just let the chips fall as they may.
It's like if I called you up and I said, now, Jim, don't worry. Everything's okay. What are you going to do? You're going to worry.
All right. Here's the deal. which promises are going to be hard to keep, the ones he made when he was running against Hillary or the ones he made when he was running against McCain?
Oh, wow.
Now, he would think that was funny.
Well, sure. I mean, in every politician, first you have to, you know, vanquish your primary opponent, and then you have to get into the general election and turn the other way, really.
See, this is why I told my audience before the election, for weeks before the election, I said, ladies and gentlemen, please don't listen to what they're saying about incremental specific promises. If they offer you $369, you know, back on your income tax, you're not going to get that. That's not how it's going to work. But pay attention to their overall philosophy about taxes, their overall philosophy about health care, et cetera, et cetera. And follow that trend, follow that thinking, and find the one that who suits you and vote for that guy, not because they said they were going to give you $1,000.
Right.
And you guys are pointing this out when you say delivering on his promises won't be easy. You're proving my point.
Sure. It's true.
So, and here's another reason why, Joan, and you guys kind of point this out too this week. The world is changing in front of our very eyes. What he saw the night that he accepted the election results is not going to be the world he's going to see on January 20th.
Well, and I wonder if he sits there and thinks, wow, what did I get myself into?
He's
got to really
be thinking. He's got
to
be thinking.
I don't just mean Obama. I have to think anybody in that position would now be saying, oh, gee, what's going to happen to me?
Here's what they're saying, Joan. I know what I was feeling, but what was I thinking?
Yeah.
That's a country music term line there, John. I know you don't listen to that much. But now the more than ever before in my life, Joan, have I seen a transition from the lame duck administration to the new administration. That what do we got here? 2 months, roughly 60 days, roughly.
Right.
I've never seen a time when the world needed to have a government being involved in solutions, and yet we've got one coming in and one going out.
Well, that's true. This transition
period is going to be fraught with peril, isn't it?
It will, but thank goodness. And you know, I don't want to upset Clinton supporters, but President Clinton, he was a brilliant politician, but he was not the most organized person in the world. He was famous for taking forever to make appointments.
Yeah.
And I don't think Obama. I think Obama was laying a lot of the groundwork before he even got elected. I'm not even making a joke about this. I think he had transition people that were quietly working on this before the election, so that they can get some of these key people in place quickly, especially in the financial area.
Watching his organization in the campaign, and I think what we'll see from him, from his organization over the next 30 days, I believe is one of the things that make me heartened a little bit about him, because, you know, here's one thing I've learned in the military, Joan. People would rather follow a leader who may be marching in the wrong direction, but who is marching, than to have a leader who won't make a decision.
Right. They want some kind of leadership.
Followers want, regardless of whether it's a small business or an infantry company or a nation, people want somebody to be doing something, to be moving in a direction, because you know what? If you're moving in the wrong direction, but you're moving, at least you can make adjustments.
That's right.
But nobody likes inertia. And I hope that's something, and that's the point you were making. I hope that's something that differentiates his administration from Clinton's.
Well, let's hope. I think it's possible, at least, but we'll have to wait and see.
One of the most interesting things about he's done so far, Joan, and you guys report on this week, is the Rahm Emanuel appointment to chief of staff.
And you know, that was pretty controversial.
Yeah. Because Rahm Emanuel he's been known as a straight razor toting partisan.
Yes, yes, he's a tough partisan fighter. But apparently there's a new, kinder, gentler Emanuel. Maybe.
Well, he's the guy who pragmatically found conservative Democrats to run in certain areas, and he was the architect of the 2006 election.
That's right.
Congressional election. So maybe he's realized that pragmatism, discretion is a better part of valor. 29 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blassingame.
He's the man talkers says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blassingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, at the bottom of page one, one of the things you pointed out is the weak economy will probably delay Obama's tax hikes on the higher income for a year or so. I think that's just one of many points of things. I think there are many things that he would like to get done in the first year. He would like to have gotten done this year. I think he won't be able to stress the economy in that way. One of them would be the Employee Free Choice Act, the card checks, the unionization bill. I know they want that badly, but that's just not something I think that's going to land well on a struggling economy. The tax hike's another one. Healthcare is another. I think he's going to have to really do some soul searching on how froggy he wants to be the first year.
Well, taxes is interesting because I agree with you. I think he is probably going to, we have said in the tax letter that he will probably put off the tax increases he's talked about till 2010 because he doesn't need to do them till then. The Bush tax cuts don't expire till the end of 2010.
Right.
However, he's going to, like as I said at the top of the broadcast, he's going to have a heck of a time reining in the left wing of his party who will really want to put those tax increases in place in 2009. And I think when push comes, he will probably be successful for the reason that you point out, which is that the economy doesn't want to get that hit right now. But it will be interesting to see how hard he has to work to keep guys in line.
And doesn't it now become a little more apparent, if you think about it, why he picked Rahm Emanuel? Because Emanuel is no pushover. He's well respected. He's a highly intelligent. My Republican operatives, Joan, that I talk to, tell me that he is wicked smart. They're very impressed with his intellect and his skill as a politician, and as somebody who operates in the government. And so my point is, Obama's going to need a guy like Emanuel, and I think you guys kind of pointed this out earlier. They're going to need him to deal with his own kind.
Exactly,
more than the Republicans.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's one more thing, Joan. If you remember what I said a minute ago, he's the guy who was the architect of the 06 gains for the Democrats because he was pragmatic enough to find centrist Democrats in these open seats or seats that were up for re-election. And he put them in as a good counterbalance to Republicans, and he won, and that's got him some significant credibility in the party.
Well, that's another good point about the type of Democrat you have in Congress now, because you do have in the Midwest and in the West a lot of Democrats who are not in sort of the stereotypical left-wing mold. So that may help the White House next year as it tries to get its agenda.
Which brings me back to my point about Republicans voting for Democrats, Joan.
Yeah.
Republicans voted more Republicans, I'm convinced, voted for those centrist Democrats than would have in the past. And so I think that's part of the overall scheme that they've got to deal with. Here's what I think is going to happen, Joan. I think President-elect Obama, at that time president, I think he will be very studious and technical and very pragmatic about doing everything he can do to help the marketplace get back on its feet. And then once that happens, and now he's got some credibility, some people say, "Hey, this guy actually can do some stuff." Then he says, "Okay, guys, I backed off. I gave everybody what they wanted. Now I'd like to get a little bit back. I'd like to get some things that I want." And I think that's the way it could roll out over the first 2 years. What do you think?
It sure makes sense to me.
So I hope that's what happens, because we don't need any ideological flyers next year, Joan. Right here, One of the things I tell my small business audience, Joan, is now is not a good time to push the envelope.
Right.
Because Joan, when you push the envelope, that means that you're trying to get out on the leading edge of things. And here's what we know. A thousandth of a millimeter on the other side of the leading edge is the bleeding edge.
Ooh.
And it's very hard to know where one starts and one stops. And so small business owners can't afford right now to go with the bleeding edge because it's going to be hard to recover from that. And I think that's what he's going to find next year. He can't push the envelope. He can't get out on the leading edge too far, but he'll find the bleeding edge, and we'll all pay for that. 22, right back with Joan Pryor. We got a lot more good stuff to talk about after these messages. Stay with us. Gentlemen, Lindsey Buckingham, key member of Fleetwood Mac. That's one man, one voice, one guitar. Incredible, incredible performance. If you ever get a chance to see it in person or even on television, whatever, him performing that song, Big Love, is absolutely amazing. The only thing about playing a guitar, it's just incredible. He's one of the greatest guitarists, in my opinion, alive, and so anyway, check it out. Our guest, and Joan, you were telling me, you reminded me that on Palladia there was a concert in Boston for that group.
Yes, which I saw recently.
And I found it and recorded it and I watched it. So folks, it may just still be out there if you get Palladia in your cable lineup or your satellite lineup. It was really good. Joan Pryor is our guest, as I said, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, the website for you guys is kiplinger.com, that great name. Wilbur, was it Wilbur?
Willard.
How could I forget that? Willard
M. Kiplinger.
The founder, ladies and gentlemen, yes. Back in 1923.
Right.
September 1923, he found the Kiplinger letter. What an entrepreneurial thing to do. And it's still an incredible name, a great brand in news, in financial and business. Joan and I work off of the weekly Kiplinger letter, the flagship, and of course they have the bi-weekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the biofuels letter, which Joan, it's going to be interesting to see the interest in that now that the oil prices have come down so much.
Exactly, that's right.
The alternative fuels things really take when the oil price come down, so that'll
That's
be interesting.
Right.
And then, of course, they got the magazine thing, John. What's that?
That's right, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And it's been around since the 40s.
That's right.
In one form or another, it's been that name for a long time. And what about that phone number?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Joan, and by the way, don't forget they got a 30-day free trial, folks, so check that out. Go to the website. It's a good website, even if you don't subscribe. Joan, we got to touch on these economic forecasts before we go further.
Yeah,
oil prices,
unfortunately.
Oil prices, Joan, are down in the 50s.
That's
oil is in the 50s right now.
That's amazing.
And Joan, remember when we were reporting on this and I, at least, was you know, encouraging us to explore our own resources more and more people where it has struck a nerve. And this is another reason why I think Obama's going to have to govern more to the center is because of this, Joan. That drill thing struck a nerve. And just talking about drilling lowered the price of oil. Letting the offshore ban lapse. Those two things, Joan, and, of course, the economy, the demand destruction thing, that's contributed. But primarily, before there was demand destruction, for sure, those two things on the U.S. drilling contributed to lowering the price of oil.
Well, that's Jim Blasingame, not the Kiplinger letter, saying that.
That's exactly right. They know where this is coming from, Joan. They know.
Okay.
They know the difference between Kiplinger and me. And so I've been talking about that for a long time. And so this is a... Joan, can you imagine where we would be right now if oil were still at $150 a barrel?
Wow. Well, and people were talking about how it was going to go sky high to $200, $300, $400.
Yeah.
You know, who knows
it's
where
ridiculous.
It would stop.
ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that was that long ago either, was it, Joan?
That's right.
That people were saying that maybe 60, 90 days ago. But anyway, that's part of the good news, Joan. Inflation, thank you. Inflation is down. Of course, the oil prices are helping that.
That's right.
Unemployment is up.
Yes. We say it's going to be up to 8% in 2009.
Yeah. Some people think
so
it might go higher.
So the new president has his work cut out for him, I think.
Yep. And we had a negative growth in third quarter, Joan, and fourth quarter's not looking better.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, so we've got some challenging things, but what we got to do, Joan, we got to focus on the positive reality and not the negative hysteria.
Oh, absolutely.
That's my little catchphrase for the year. Positive reality. There are a lot of positives out there. See, Joan, that's what small business owners do. We focus on the positive and make something out of that rather than focusing on the negative and ask the government to bail us out.
There you go.
By the way, Joan, I've been meaning to announce I'm actually going to convert to a commercial bank so I can get some of that TARP money.
Oh, I think everybody will.
Yeah, I think we all are doing that.
Yeah.
Joan, let's move over and talk about, we just talked about energy, oil prices. In the middle of page two, you guys talk about gas prices. Right now, Joan, somewhere in America, gas prices are under $2 a gallon.
I've seen it. I saw it in southwestern Virginia last week when I was down there visiting. I saw $1.95 and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Joan, that is such good news for all of us. It's unbelievable.
Sure is.
We got to keep it at that level somehow, folks. And I think it will be that way for a while. I don't want to say this, but I think this is really good news for all of us. Joan, let's move down and talk about the big three, Detroit's big three. Actually, it's big two and a half. Chrysler's not really a big one anymore, I think. But Ford, GM, and Chrysler are in. Now in the news right now because of the potential bailout. Joan, what does Kiplinger say about that?
Well, we say that the government is going to really have to bail them out, that it doesn't have a choice, that they simply don't have enough cash. I mean, GM this week basically cut off health insurance benefits for retirees, which was huge.
Yeah. They had to.
Action that yes, they had to do it, but to think about what they've done to retire. Now, they did try to help them by giving them, I think, $600 a month to pay for their own policy, but still to change the game in the middle there was a pretty big shock.
$1,600 a car that you paid for a car, $1,600 of that money was going just for every car they sold, just for retiree health benefits. Can't keep that going, ladies and gentlemen. That's a 20th century baggage that they had to get rid of. They're going to have to get rid of. Nothing anybody can do about that, one way or the other. Tintail, stay with us. But no one can tell. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging out with me. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, one last thing on this GM Ford Chrysler thing. I think that clearly those companies have got to go into bankruptcy. I don't think. I mean, at least GM, especially, and
well,
I don't.
Well, bankruptcy
know how.
Isn't the end of the road in it by any means.
Look at the airline industries, Joan.
Look at
so many of these companies. But here's what they got to do, Joan, because we don't need to wake up one morning and find out that GM just filed for bankruptcy and everybody's scrambling to see what they're going to get. I mean, the tentacles, GM or Ford, either one, would have an AIG effect on the economy.
Right.
Because of the vendors that they use across the industry, et cetera, et cetera. But here's what they could do, Joan, I'm starting to warm up to this idea. They could do what's called a prepackaged bankruptcy. You know what that is?
No.
A prepackaged bankruptcy, and this, I'm not an expert, folks, but this is the way I understand it. This is where everybody knows you're going into bankruptcy. You get together in advance of the bankruptcy. Everybody agrees on what they're going to get. And you sort of budget for it, you understand it, you internalize it, the marketplace deals with the information, and then when you sign the document, you're out of it. You only go in and you're only in and out of bankruptcy in 90 seconds. And you emerge on the other side of bankruptcy as a different organization, and everybody, there's no, in other words, there's no spectacle over over, and no fighting in courts and all that. Just it's prepackaged.
Well, I think one of the problems is when you hear a company go into bankruptcy, you think that it's going out of business, and the two aren't
right.
synonymous by any means.
Millions of people, Joan, flew on a handful of airlines while they were in bankruptcy.
Right.
Including moi.
Right.
I flew on Delta. I flew on US Air. I flew on United. I flew on whichever one, the other one that went bankrupt. They were in bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And they didn't do a prepackage. They went in and were in for a year.
Yeah, they did it the old-fashioned way.
Chapter
yeah.
11. Yeah. yeah. So, no, that's exactly right. And I think that's what has to happen because, Joan, I think it's important to point out the American automobile industry is not sick. Just the ones with the 20th century legacy baggage.
Right. They're overloaded.
That's right. The other car companies who build automobiles in the United States don't have this problem. Now they're not healthy because of the economy, but they don't have the baggage, the 20th century baggage that GM and Ford and Chrysler do.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's look for that kind of thing. I think that's makes a lot of sense. I hope that the government will allow them to do that rather than try to bail them out because, Joan, we don't need to throw good money after bad. They got bad business models right now.
Right, exactly.
And we don't need to be investing in a bad business model.
Nope.
Joan, do you remember what happened in Japan back in the 90s? The government propped up businesses and wouldn't let businesses fail.
Oh,
they had
yeah.
They had a 15-year recession because of that.
That's right. Wow. We don't
beware,
need that.
Beware the eyes of Japan, Joan.
Yeah, right.
Joan, let's move over and talk about technology. Over on page 4, you guys talk about IT expenses. You can cut them without compromising productivity. And one of the things is switching to internet phone systems. That's a
and you've
that's
always
really
been a big promoter of those, I think.
Voice over IP.
Proponent.
Yeah, I've got my phone system in my business. We don't use it in our regular day-to-day stuff. I use Skype a fair amount,
right.
which is voice over IP. But my phone system was purchased with the ability to grow into that. Now, when I purchased it, voice over IP quality was a little bit, wasn't quite as good as it should have been,
mm-hmm.
but now it's gotten excellent, Joan.
Ah.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of, this is a paradigm shift, Joan. Voice over IP is going to be a telecommunications paradigm shift. It already is, but when it becomes diffused in the marketplace, and I predict it'll happen quickly, that'll be a paradigm shift for the telecommunication industry. Online software, Joan, they call it cloud computing sometimes.
Cloud computing.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
interesting. Yeah.
Software as a service. This is where you don't actually the software doesn't reside on your hard drive. You actually buy it and the power resides on the seller's servers.
Yeah, you're blowing my mind here.
Yeah. That's a big deal. I've been doing a lot of reporting on that. I'm glad you guys reported on it this week.
Yeah.
So all that's good stuff and folks, you only find it at Kiplinger. Letter in the Kiplinger letter.
That's
of course,
right.
maybe here when Joan and I cover it. But other than that, you know, you can't get this stuff anywhere else.
That's
hey,
right.
Joan, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
Good job. We'll see you next time. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I promise. Next week, actually. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, telling you that I am so proud of you, small business owners. Small business owners, you will lead this economy out of whatever we're in right now. Only you can do it.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.